Cortez continued to complain as we resumed our previous pace. Trying to follow what he was saying was all the more difficult, as he seemed to think I already knew what he was talking about. And after a while, I decided that that was a very good way to leave it, for what I was getting seemed to be crucial to Borglund's little scheme. The main thing was the overall makeup of the project complex itself. It was a goddamned fortress. Heavy defensive screens were only the beginning of it, though I had never, in fact, counted on their being so powerful. After the screens came the shape of the dome itself, the structural compression assembly part. What SCA was, it turned out, was sort of a spring that ran connected throughout the outer bulkhead, sealing in such a way as to allow the entire structure to compress when one side of it was attacked, like by heavy-bore artillery. There was more. 8 laser cannon were installed within the outer rim of the complex, each controlled by the master ground control in the depths of the inner dome, where the auxiliary control network had been when the ship was aloft. There were other things, blaze bomb catapults and a couple of dozen remote-controlled blazers as well. Evidently some were useless, since the dome had been wedged into the foot of a small hill on its eastern edge, but that still left quite a nut to crack. I had to get busy in a hurry. I could think of at least 4 major perimeter systems alone that would have to be disengaged. Of course, the dome would still be a fort, but I doubted that would be enough to comfort any stragglers. At last we arrived in the passageway outside of Holly's chambers. "He sleeps and works here both," Cortez told me. "Sometimes he eats here, too, they say." Then he keyed the outer door and we were inside. The waiting area was crowded with scientist types, mumbling argumentatively around a conference table, over which was strewn a bewildering array of computer printout viewers and chart screens. They looked up and eyed me rather drearily as we entered. It wasn't especially rude, only the kind of look any non-scientist, read mere mortal, would have received. Cortez smiled in their direction and crossed the room to another door. He punched a key out and then muttered something into the grill I couldn't hear. I lit a cigarette and tried to look like a partisan, or at least a fan. Cortez rejoined me and spoke too softly for anyone else to hear. "They don't look very happy, do they?" he said, nodding toward the others. "What are they doing here?"
"Waiting to see the doctor. Looks like they've been here a while."
So we stood there. I smoked and stared at the ceiling. Cortez sat down. The scientists continued to eye me uncomfortably. It was more, I knew, than just the fact that I was a stranger. It was my pirate's reputation that offended their scholarly dignity. How odd, I thought, that men and women whose very careers revolved around being open-minded were so often stodgy late-century moralists. Unless, of course, it came to their latest theory. After a few minutes, one of them came over to me and began to speak rapidly in heavily accented standard about partial waves and inertial development. It wasn't until several seconds after he had stopped that I realized he'd asked me a question and was waiting for my answer. I looked away, trying to be creatively vague, and saw that Laya had just entered the room from the far side.